This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greeting and salutation upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey and looking at good moral virtues or practices that we find, that some of these virtues of good characteristics have become very rare inside our society, and even more rare for the non-Muslims who live around us. Today's theme is about contentment, being content with one's life and at peace, at rest with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon every single individual. Thus we find that many of the people around us, they believe that the concept of materialism, possession of wealth, of property, is a form of gaining contentment inside their life. And this is only partially true. We all need the dunya, we all need wealth, but does not bring the total contentment in the life of the individual. There'll always be a cavity, a hollowness inside the heart or the mind or the soul of the human being. And that hole or that cavity can't be filled with worldly possessions and worldly belongings. That emptiness inside the heart or the soul of the individual, the body of the individual, can only be filled with belief, filled with contentment, with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon every single individual. And thus we find today's hadith that we find what brings rest to the individual. لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Richness isn't possessing many worldly things. That's not what enrichment is. Enrichment is having richness of the soul, contentment of the soul, peace of the soul, happiness within oneself, happiness with whatever is around the individual. Whatever that individual possesses is real contentment. And thus we find that the Islamic benchmark of riches, of richness, differs like the East and the West. Totally different perception or conception of understanding what is wealth. What is richness? How much does a person need to live inside their life? How much does a person need to enjoy their life? As mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith in Imam Tirmidhi, in Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, in Abwab al-Zuhud, in a chapter speaking about zuhud, abstinence, staying away from excessive indulgence inside the dunya. We find the Prophet alaihi wasallam mentioned, whoever amongst you wakes up in the morning secured in his dwelling, healthy in his body, and having food for the day, then it is as if the world has been gathered for that individual. So having food for the day, Islamically, is as if the whole world has been gathered for you. Another hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah that we find once again in Abwab al-Zuhud, chapter speaking about zuhud, abstinence. Whoever amongst you wakes up physically healthy, feeling safe and secure within himself, with food for the day, it is as if he has acquired the whole world. That's how Islam describes possession. You have food for the night, you have a bed to sleep on for the night, then you have the richness of all the world as far as the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. And thus we find that without contentment, we find so many psychological health issues that these people begin to suffer from, that they begin to destroy their own selves. That is very strange. Sunnat Allah al-Ardh, you find that the countries which are flourishing in wealth and possessions, you find that these same countries linguistically are flourishing in taking their lives. The Danish Scandinavian countries, read the statistics of how many of them, they commit suicide. They have everything on the face of this earth, but you find something is missing within themselves. There's no contentment inside their lives. That emptiness leads them, may Allah forbid, leads them to taking their own life, not being happy with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. Thus we find the Muslim has been urged by the Prophet alayhi salam to be content. Find a hadith inside Sahih Muslim, Kitab al-Zuhud, the book of abstinence once again, whereby the Prophet alayhi salam mentioned, look at those who stand at a lower level than you, and do not look at those who stand at a higher level than you. For because maybe you may begin to reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sharia says when it comes to the world, Look at those people who are below you. There's not a few people, there's millions of people who are in dire need. When it comes to the Akhirah, that should be the benchmark. Look at the people who went before us, the Anbiya, wa Rusul, the Prophets, the Messengers, Siddiqeen, Salihin, Shuhada, wa Hasuna Ulaika Rafiqa. Those are the best companions, the best comrades. Those are the best aspirations a person should have. That should be the benchmark of the Muslim. Not that the Muslim sees the dunya, falls prey to the dunya, and thinks, whoa, if only I possess this. As you find the end of sort of Qasas speaking about Qarun, this individual that wealth was given to him, how people began to begin to look at this individual, that if only we had been given what Qarun had been given. A natural feeling that you find people see possessions of the dunya and see, if only I'd been given that. But then they'd be rebuked by the ulama at that time, that the thawab with Allah is far more rewarding than for you to begin to seek these things of the dunya. And thus you find that contentment leads to barakah in one's life. That's the key ingredient. That when a person is content, you find barakah inside a person's life. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا. If the people of the qarya, the village, only they believe and they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will rip open the heavens and the earth for these individuals. But these individuals, they belie, they reject, they waste the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these individuals, their barakah is taken away from them. In a hadith Qudsi that we find is collected by Imam Tirmidhi inside his sunan, that we find, O son of Adam, devote yourself to my worship, and I will fill your chest with riches and alleviate your poverty. And if you do not do so, then I will fill your hands with problems and leave you in a state of poverty. So fill your heart and your mind with devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will enrich the soul, enrich the mind, place barakah inside the life of the individual. And as some ulama mentioned, the opposite of this, it becomes true. A person who is negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah fills the heart of that individual with greed. Fills greed inside their heart. And robs their mind of tranquility and peace. Robs it away from, takes it away from them. For those people just full of greed inside their life. That's when you look at the ayat inside the Quran speaking about wealth. Those people just hunting after wealth. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. Those who divorce, who eat usury. The Quran describes these individuals, الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. It's as if the devil has touched them. Some ulama use this ayah as an evidence of the jinn can possess the human being. And others take it linguistically, that look at those people who delve in interest and usury and riba. They become like madmen. Life just becomes wealth, possession. By any way, any means, just to plunder wealth, take wealth, have more possessions. So even in dunya, they become like a mad individual. And the deeper concept is mentioned in tafsir, as Ibn Abbas mentioned, that a person day of judgment who eats usury will come as a frantic individual day of judgment, as a mad individual day of judgment. And he said to this individual, you took interest in this dunya. Allah has declared war, and he's mentioned a person who takes interest. No place inside the Quran. Many major sins are made inside the Quran. Al-Kabair, Imam Dhahabi, takes some 80 to 90 sins, major sins inside the Quran and Ahadith, with his famous book, Risala Al-Kabair. All these major sins mentioned documents out of the Quran. So none of them declare that Allah and His Messenger have declared war upon that individual. And at a side point, many of us, we think that there's many wars taking place on the face of this earth. There may be many wars, but bear in mind that one war, that there will be a bad ending. There'll be no coming out of that war unless the person repents. The person takes away, abandons riba. That is that Allah and His Messenger have declared war upon that individual. And for some of us, it may sound too political. War has been declared on this Muslim Ummah. That we find we openly indulge inside ina, inside riba, inside usury. Hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud that we find. إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ. You begin to deal in you ina, نَوْءٌ مِنْ riba. وَأَخَذْتُمْ بِأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ. You begin to take hold of the tails of the cows. وَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْزَرْءِ. You become happy with cultivation, with this land, property that you find. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You abandon striving and struggling in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the effect? Sallallahu alaykum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower upon you, send upon you disgrace. Will disgrace this Muslim ummah. And will not lift that disgrace hatta tarji'u ila dinikum, until you don't return back to your deen. And hadith authenticated by the Shaykh of Sham, Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani rahmatullah alayh, who wrote a whole risala based upon this, about how the state of this Muslim ummah is. So this is the end result that we're suffering and we begin to see. So sadly you find even amongst Muslims a lack of contentment, travelling like madmen upon the land, chasing after this dunya that we find, that Allah robs the individual away from contentment and peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's also, we need to remove this concept that the more wealth that we possess, the more seeking in material wealth, the more riches and wealth that we gain inside this dunya will give us contentment, satisfaction and happiness we will have. In pursuit of happiness, as they say. We need to remove this cliche. We're not against wealth and this dunya. But to remove this concept that the more that we possess, the more that we own, the more that we have, the more peace and content will be inside our lives. We need to remove this from our mind, from our soul. Because this is a Western concept. The more riches I have, the more peaceful I will become an individual inside my life. And thus we find actually more time that we dedicate towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Him, the more bounties will be delivered. The more sustenance and satisfaction we will derive from the little time we spend in working. It's the opposite inside the Sharia. The more less time you spend in working, as they say, it becomes quality time. Time of barakah that you find. And the rest of the time is spent in strengthening oneself, to devote oneself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find inside the Qur'an, some 20 different occasions inside the Qur'an, of speaking about wealth, bestowing of wealth, the source of wealth, expanding wealth, the giving of wealth, the nature of wealth, the fact of decree of wealth. 20 different ayat inside the Qur'an speaking about the concept of wealth. Amongst these ayat that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Allah yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdiru. Inside Surah Al-Ra'd that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands the wealth to whomever He wants. And He's destined it. That every individual have their fair share of wealth. Thus you find four things are sealed on the forehead of every single individual before they come out the womb of their mother. Shaqiyun aw sa'eed. Wretched or happy individual. Faqir aw ghani. Person is going to be poor or going to be a rich individual. It's all destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stamped on the forehead of the individual. Then Allah continues this ayah. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. وَفَرِحُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Al-Ishara, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that these some individuals, they just become content with the dunya. Their whole life just becomes the dunya, seeking after dunya. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعٌ. This dunya is only a small provision. Some other ayah they find, إِلَّا قَلِيمٌ. Small, petty amount. That's all that this dunya is. And here, reflecting on this ayah, first thing we should understand. تَقْسِيمُ الْأَمْوَالِ. Separation of wealth. Person is rich, doesn't mean that person loved by Allah. That's another downfall that some of us Muslims, we think. That person's rich, Allah's honored this individual. Allah loves this individual. تَقْسِيمُ الْأَمْوَالِ has no impact. It has no impact. Doesn't mean that Allah loves this person more, or hates this person, or made this person impoverished. Doesn't mean that at all in the Sharia. That's not what it means, giving of wealth and taking away of wealth. Secondly, that you find that the end part of this word, of this verse, points to the fact that people are becoming content with this dunya. That's all that they want. And the strange thing that a verse after this, Allah then once again speaks about contentment. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَعِنُ قُلُوبٌ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُ الْقَلُوبِ. Quran, al-ayat, rabdul ayat, shay'un ajeeb. Quran is strange how it moves from one verse to another verse to another verse. That's why Imam Suyuti, he expanded his efforts to make rabd bayn al-ayat, he was sore inside works of his tafasir, to link certain ayat inside the Quran. To see how Allah moves from one theme to another theme, one verse to another verse. So how people were farihu bil hayati dunya. People become content with this dunya. After verse Allah mentions, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَعِنُوا قُلُوبٌ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Those who believe and their hearts become tranquil, content, serenity with the remembrance of Allah. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. In the dhikr of Allah, there's no price tag. It's priceless. Before that, Allah said you could possess all of this dunya. You can't find peace. You can't find contentment. You can't find solace. You can't find serenity. You can't find rest. There's always going to be something quivering inside your, missing inside your life. Possess the world and everything the world all over. Still something going to be missing inside your life. And that's the Quran when it speaks about success. Allah speaks in the end of Surah Ali Imran. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْخُرُورِ. Quran is ajeeb. Whoever is rescued from the hellfire, فَقَدْ فَازَ. Quran doesn't say whoever is rescued with their wealth, has excessive wealth and possesses this and owns that. Whoever saves himself from the hellfire, فَقَدْ فَازَ. That's the ultimate success. Then Allah gives the warning that some of you are going to fall into the trap of this dunya. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْخُرُونَ. What is this world except for a great big deception, chattels of deception. That's what this dunya is. Deceiving the individual to drift them away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another passage inside the Quran about reliance, trust with or in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ. You know, some of us, we claim to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but lose a few pounds, lose your job, some calamity, some difficulty. Al-Iman, Al-Iman fi shada'in. Iman is at a time of difficulty, that a person is still constant in the ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-Iman fi farhi. Iman is constant in happiness as well. The person is still devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person doesn't waver. Good things come, then become grateful. Difficulties come, then begin to walk away. Or some people return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min hikmati subhanahu wa ta'ala, places shada'in, places difficulties, places obstacles, to see which of my servants are truly going to worship me. Who amongst my servants is going to outshine? When the person is rejoicing, when a person is suffering, when a person is difficulty, who amongst my slaves is going to drag their feet, come to the masjid? Who amongst my slaves is going to become more devoted towards me? Hikmatullahi balina. That means wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To see who responds, who becomes more devoted, who becomes more committed, who begins to make more sacrifices to show that their iman is shining, that their belief isn't the dunya. Dunya comes and goes. Comes and goes for every single individual. Iman can't come and go. Iman isn't a commodity that comes and goes. You lose your iman and you think, فَلَا حَرَجْ فِي ذَلِكَ. لَا بَأْسْ. Iman's lost, no problem. There's only something minor. لا. Iman goes, is you've lost everything in the world and whatever it contains. You've lost yourself. أَلَا ذَلِكَ وَالْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That's the ultimate loss. خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You've lost this dunya, and you've lost the akhirah as well. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ عَمْرِي قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah will complete His promise. Whatever Allah has destined for the individual will be completed. No one can make you a few pounds richer. No one can shortchange you inside this dunya. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you, Allah has destined that. That this will happen to this individual, and this is what they're going to gain by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ رِزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Say, my Lord is the one who divides up the wealth to whomever He wants. وَيَقْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah has destined that. But most of mankind don't seem to comprehend, don't seem to understand this. Wealth is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Poverty is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He delivers it however He wants subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belong مَقَالِيدُ بِمَعْنَى مَفَاتِح. مَفَاتِح الْخَزَائِن. As ulama of tafsir mentioned. To Allah. To Allah belongs the keys of the heavens and the earth. يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. He expands the wealth to whomever He wants. Destined it whomever He wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge regarding that. And quite strange is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another passage inside the Quran, وعنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. To Allah belongs the keys of the unseen. No one knows them except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it begins to speak about a dry leaf or a wet leaf, wherever it lands, wherever it falls. Everything is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing misses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions what we want to extract. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا جَرَحْتُمْ بِالنَّهَارِ. You know, all of a sudden, Allah knows the keys of the unseen. You know, we all have these aspirations. If I live till tomorrow, I will do this. I will achieve this. I will do this. I will store this. I will gain this. The strange thing is, many people don't live till tomorrow. Many people don't make it to tomorrow. So Allah mentioned, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ. Some of you, Allah will take your life in the night. Take your life. And He knows what you do during the daytime. Whatever you do, your wealth or your property. Allah will, has destined that some people will be taken. There's many individuals, living individuals, we've lived around them, who had aspirations inside their life, had millions at the exposure. And what happened? In the morning, they were gone. Everything just remained there. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ. Whatever is with you will perish. It will perish, just be taken away. And whatever is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it remains. And thus we find that the reality of life and death, wealth should awaken the individual. You know, death isn't the end of the individual. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Inside Surah Al-Mulk that we find, Surah Al-Mani'a, the preventing surah, Surah Al-Mani'a prevents the individuals. Ulama hadith have concluded 30 ayat, whoever recites them every single night will protect the individual from the punishment of the grave. Qul yata, who is the one who created, who alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata, created death. Allah mentions al-mawt qabla al-hayat, because mawt is a reality that all of us will face, and death isn't the end of the individual. Death is the beginning of our journey. Death is the beginning of our journey إلى الآخرة. خمس مراحل لكل إنسان. 5 stages for every single human being. First stage, عند الله. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أرواحنا. Our souls. Inside Surah Al-A'raf. When Allah took all of us from the loins of Bani Adam and made us all testify, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. Allah said, am I not your Lord? We all programmed, testified our souls that Allah is the only one to be worshipped. First stage. مَرْحَلَةُ الثَّانِيَةَ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّكَ فِي الرَّحِمِ. Second stage of the individual, in the womb of your mother. That you reside there, لِمُدَّةِ تِسْعَ الشُّهُورِ أَوْ أَقَلْ أَوْ زِي. For less time or more time than that, approximately. That's the second stage. Third stage of the human being, al-dunya. We reside upon this dunya. Also, for a small stage, kalamhil basari, for like the blinking of an eye. That's residing upon this dunya. Wa marhalatu rabi'a is barzakh, the interspace, bayna dunya wal akhirah, inda al-qabr. Person reside there. Then the final stage that we find when we amma jannah or nar for that individual, that you find amma shaqiyun or sa'id. And that's where you find that the whole concept of happiness, of felicity that we find, that you find when Allah kind of mentions about those individuals who are wretched individuals. Study those ayat inside the Quran. Those who are wretched individuals, the sifat of those individuals. And then the opposite. Wa amma alladhina su'idu ففي الجنة خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك أطاعا غير مجذوذ. And those individuals' state of happiness will reside for eternity inside Jannah, as long as your Lord wills, as decreed and destined. This is going to be أطاعا غير مجذوذ غير منقطع. علماء اللغة mentioned, it's a gift which has no ending. For eternity. For the individual resides inside, for eternity residing with a gift that Allah bestows upon those individuals who are content individuals in a state of happiness. We find that we dedicate, or we should be dedicating much of our precious time towards the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather than spending our time working tirelessly until that we find that some of us are so exhausted and don't have the energy to worship or to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what this dunya is, as they say, a rat race. How many people do you find that coming for Salatul Isha? They'll miss Salatul Isha with the excuse that they're tired because of work, or yawning, or sleeping, or coming lazily. What is the reason for this? Amongst the reasons are quite clear, because they say it themselves, exertion of this dunya. Worried about this dunya, spending all day, shifting like clockwork, spending their day. And then they drag their feet. When they come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find that some individuals, may Allah rectify their affairs, delaying their prayers, missing their prayers, skipping their prayers. These same individuals will miss a minute of their work. A minute of their work is lost, they'll be there to rectify that time, to gain that wealth, to gain what belongs to them. But they miss a prayer as if it's something futile. It has no impact. Doesn't worry them. This shows the sad state of some of us Muslims that we find. That contentment inside the dunya and not contentment regarding the akhirah. Belief and conviction regarding the akhirah. Hadith, many a hadith that we find, but nothing such Sahih Muslim that we find speaking about raka'atayn qabla salati subhi that we find. Two units of prayer, two sunnah before fajr that we find. Khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha aw ma 'alayha is better than the world and whatever it contains. Two sunnah, how long is two sunnah? We find in the sunnah of the Prophet Zamkana, khafifa, was very light. An ayah, two ayah, they find Surah Al-Kafirun, Surah Al-Ikhlas, very light, very simple, very quick. These two sunnah before fajr, hadith is like Sahih Muslim, is better than the world and whatever it contains. But that's not our aqid, that's not our belief, that's not our conviction. Salatul Asr, whoever misses Salatul Asr is as if they've lost the whole world and whatever it contains and all of their family members. One salah. Limadha? Imam Nawawi in his sharh this hadith mentions, because waqtul asr is a very constricted, limited time coming towards maghrib time. And most people become busy with their family, busy with their work, the end of the day. And they miss their salah. They miss their salah. And some people, don't be taken aback. Hatta qabla ayyam, wahid sa'alani, a few days ago, person working inside the Islamic environment, missed their salat al-dhuhr, prayed their asr, prayed their maghrib, prayed their isha, and in the following night, in the morning, they remembered, they hadn't prayed dhuhr. This is an Islamic environment. Kaif? How can that be inside the Islamic environment? The person misses to miss their salat. Not to blame this person, it can happen. But it shows that sometimes our priorities inside life, that the brain work, the mindset, the focus, the first focus of the individual should be, Mata usalli, kayf usalli, fi ayy makan usalli. Yes, the whole world is a place of prayer, but the believer is worried. Where will I offer my next prayer? And does the believer make that prayer? Allah, grant me the tawfiq, the ability, that my next prayer, I catch it in jama'ah, catch it in the masjid, able to complete it. Or is it that we find, arihna minha? The Prophet said to Bilal, arihna bis salah. Give us peace and contentment with the salah. For us we find, give us peace and contentment with getting rid of the prayer. The quicker it's abandoned, the quicker it's carried out, the quicker it's lost, so we can return straight back to the dunya. Go back and think that it could be a greater prize that exists here. The ultimate level of contentment, the ultimate level of peace that we find, read his seerah, is none other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read his seerah in great detail. Tara nadira. Very rarely do you ever find that a Prophet alaihi wasallam ever complained about his clothing, about food, about drink, about water. Nadira. Very rarely. The most you might say, nahnu ma na'kul hadha ta'am. We don't eat this food. We don't like this food. Very rarely in his life you ever find. But you find, what would he complain about? Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura. The Messenger said in the Day of Judgment, Surah Al-Furqan. Oh my Lord, my people abandoned this Quran, left this Quran. He complained about what? People who delayed him from Salatul Asr. Malallahu butunahum binnar, or quburahum binnar. They shagaluna an salah. They delayed us from the prayer. May Allah fill their bellies, their graves with the hellfire. That's what he complained about in his life. That's what he worried about inside his life. Complained about that. These people are preventing me. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَعَنِتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The end of Surah At-Tawbah. There's come a messenger from amongst your own selves. He's always worried about you. Worried about what you eat tomorrow, what you gain tomorrow, how you live tomorrow. You know when he left this dunya, he only left a few coins, a small bone, a small shawl, a small remnants that left behind. That's all he left behind. But he died as the most content and richest man on the face of this earth that would ever exist. Min al bidaya ila nihaya. Hada nabiyukum, rasulukum. Died the most content individual, that no one will ever be more content. What the Prophet Islam, or what Allah Ta'ala placed inside his heart and inside his mind. And that's why we pray, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-husni. I ask you refuge from grief. Grief, as ulama described, that may have preceded previously in the life of the individual, not to overcome the individual. Wal-husn, sorrow, that may be what the person is living in their life at the moment. Let it not overcome the individual this dunya. Let the worries overcome the individual. Let the worry of losing an akhirah, losing iman, overcome the individual. That's what the worry should be inside the life, in the heart and the mind of the individual. And with that, the person will find raha, will find contentment, will find peace, wherever they live. In a mud house, with a few shillings, with a few morsels of food. Finally, a person with that total rest and peace inside their life. And return back in a state of total peace and rest. May Allah Ta'ala give us all contentment inside this dunya and peace inside this dunya. And give us more so contentment and peace inside the akhirah, success inside the akhirah.